In this week's parsha, we have a discussion of kosher animals, non-kosher animals, which would be a good time to discuss things that come from kosher animals, non-kosher animals, and one of those things are gelatin. What is the status of gelatin halacha, kosher, non-kosher gelatin? And then really, I'm not so nervous here about anybody using non-kosher gelatin. That's not the concern. How does that apply to medications, vitamins, things like that when it comes to the issues of gelatin? So first let's talk about the main sugo, which is a shita of the Rambam. This is all based on the Rambam in Hilchos Machalos Asuros in Perek Dal Halach Yud Ches. What is the status of the bones of the animals which is asur to eat? Because gelatin comes from the bones, cartilage, parts of the animal. What's the status of the bones? So the Rambam writes as follows. So ochel nevela v'trefa. A person who eats nevela v'trefa, an usher animal. O mi behem v'chai v'tmeim. Or from a non-kosher animal. Min ha'or from the skin. U min ha'atzamos. Or from the bones. Min ha'gidim. Or from the sinews. Min ha'karnayim. From the horns. Min ha'tzalefim. Min ha'siparnayim. The nails. Shal ofa mekoma shem evatzisim. Sham ha'dam. Shki shatchu min ha'shilya. All the different parts of the animal. Okay, that we don't normally eat. Alpha pishu usser, even though it's usser, hareze putter. It's putter. Okay, what does that mean? We'll have to see. B'nei she'elu einan ruyin lachila. Because those things are not edible. V'ein mitstarfim im habasar gazayis. They're not considered basar, flesh, regarding the halachos of eating isser. You're only chai of malchus if you eat a gazayis of isser. So they don't combine together to create that a person has eaten enough isser to be chayiv in those particular areas. That's what the Rambam says.
From any animal or from kosher animal?
From, we're talking about either a non-kosher animal, a rhinoceros, right? Or, pig's not a kosher animal, or an animal that was kosher but didn't have proper shchita, it was sick, it was nevela, something like that. So what does the Rambam mean over here? So that is a machlokas. The Tzlach writes in Chulin, the Yad Yudah say, the Rambam holds this as an Isser Durabanan, because he says, Hareza Putter. Generally, Putter means Putter Aval Asr. It's Asr Mi Durabanan. You're not chayav from the Torah, but it's Asr Mi Durabanan. However, Rav Lazer Silver, in an article that he wrote, a piece he wrote about a gelatin, and the Shalmei Simcha, and the Shuvah Seven Yisrael, all say it's an Isser Durabanan. And the Rambam says that you're putter, what does he mean? You're putter from getting lashes. You're putter from malchus. But it doesn't mean you just still do not eat an isser de orais if you eat the bone of a pig. It's still the same isser. Ramosha leaves as a suffix. What's the other opinion? Well, that's the opinion of Tosos. Tosos in the Avodah Zarah Daf Samech Tes says that eating the bones of a treif animal is actually allowed. What does Tosos say? How is it that we eat the honey of bees? But bee parts, legs and whatever parts of the bee get stuck in there, are in the honey. Even though it is pigam, it does not necessarily taste good. Nevertheless, the bee itself, de'ifgam misasru kleyama. Nevertheless, you can't eat parts of a bee that doesn't taste good. It's still usser to eat the bee. So I have an animal that's usser, and the legs of that animal, the bee legs, are in the honey. How is it mutter to have the honey? So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says, "Devade ragle hadivor devorim kevan de'atzmos v'alma." The legs of the bee have the status of bones. Are there actually bones in the classical sense? No, but it has the status of bones. Ninhu umutarim, and it's mutter to hatsamos tahorim, because the bones are considered tahor regarding the laws of tumah. Atzmos hachamor tahoros, for example, the bones of a donkey are tahor; don't impart impurity. V'ragle divorim katsamos hachamor, the legs of the bee should be the same as the bones of the donkey. Vadami averim ein lahem shir afilu pachos mikazayis min ames upachos mikadashim min asheretz. He goes into asking the question when he says, nevertheless, the inyan achila shapir dami. Says Rabbeinu Tam, bones are not considered to be a problem of kashrus at all. Who agrees with Tosfos and Rabbeinu Tam? The Rush. The Rush writes the same thing in Maseches Avodah Zarah. It's side the halacha by the Chachmas Adam, the Achiezer, Ruchai Moshe Grzhensky, who will quote from a lot in the next few moments. You have Rovadja Sefer Nevi Omer. And it could be the Sheet as well of the Taz. The Taz is a very funny line in the beginning of Simon Sadi Tes. The Taz says, "Lefi she'enam b'nei achila enam b'chlal ha'isser." The Taz says the bones are not b'nei achila. They're not for eating, and therefore they are not bichlal ha'isr. They're not within the general category of the isr. It's a very funny way the Taz writes it. Learning your idea, we'd get more into the details of the Taz. Regardless, Rav Aaron Cutler, who has a very important shuv about gelatin, so he writes that the bone is usr when it's considered achshavei. Achshavei, we should know what it is because Pesach is coming upon us. Achshavei means that when something inherently is not edible, but if I am machshiv, I think of it as being edible, then there's an isr derabanan on that thing. That comes like chametz and alcohol, things like that, or like Blumenkrantz's list that you have to get like special deodorant, things like that, that we generally don't follow. So that is based on the principle of achshavei, that if it's chashiv to me, that if I want it to be there, then perhaps it has the status of being problematic. If a bone falls into something else, there's no achshavei, right? If a pig bone falls into your chalent, so we'll say, what? It's fine. Why? Because I don't want the pig bone to be in your chalent. Any blia that comes out, any flavor that comes out of the bone, isn't achshavei, and the Taz means it's not bichlal ha'isr. That's not what Chazal we're talking about. But to go and bite a pig bone, says Rav Aaron Cutler, even the Taz would say that's usr. That would be fine, because your mamish put it in your mouth. But it mixes into something else, then the Taz would say perhaps it's not a problem. Now, according to the Rambam, is it usr to have gelatin? What would we say? What? What do you mean it's mutter? According to the Rambam. No, putter from Malkus. He says it's usr.
But sometimes you
putter
from
Malkus and they kill you. So the Rambam says, avishu usr, it's usr to do it. So based on this Rambam, Rav Aaron Cutler in the Shuvas Rabbi Aaron, Rav Moshe in Yoredei Chemet Beis, Rav Lazer Silver in his piece about gelatin say that the Rambam holds that gelatin made from the bones of a non-kosher animal is usr 100%. What's the source of the Rambam? Where did the Rambam get the idea from that the bones are usr? It's a Toras Kohanim, it's a Medrash in this week's Parsha, Parsha Shmini. The Pasuk says, mi bisaram, that you'll have from their flesh. So the Medrash says, v'lo min ha'atzamos, v'lo min ha'gidim, v'lo min ha'talafim shalhem. But the isr is not on the bones, and it's not from the sinews. Now the Pasuk is talking about what? The isr malchus. The Pasuk is talking about the prohibition to give lashes. That's what the Pasuk is talking about. When you eat these things, you'll get lashes. So fine. What the Rambam means is, when you eat these things, it's usr, but you won't get lashes in basting. It's not good for your neshama, but at least it won't be bad for your back in basting. That's what the Rambam is saying. There's still an isr. That's the sheet of those who are machmer against Shelton. Rav Chaim Moshe Grudzinski, who is the greatest of the matirim, the greatest of the lenient opinions allowing gelatin from non-kosher animals, says no, the Rambam is only prohibiting bones that are soft and don't have any marrow. But he says, Hayinu ba'atzamos harachin oshesh b'ham moach, aval ba'atzamos hakashim v'yaveshim, hard bones, where there's no juice there, there's nothing going on there. He says, b'vadeh gami surah, like there's no iser, v'chu'inu b'mishnah, that's also clearly set out in another mishnah as well. This is also the shita of Rav Chaska Abramsky, in a tshuva printed in the Chazon Yecheskel on Zvachim, also printed in the introduction to the fourth volume of the Tzitz Eliezer, who's also one of those who defends eating gelatin. Based on this, they understand there's no disagreement in the Rambam and Tosos, meaning even the Rambam is going to say, agree with Tosos, that straight up bone, unless there's any cartilage or flesh on it, is going to be mutter. Now, it's very strange to assume that the Rambam is only talking about soft bones. Where do you see that in the language of the Rambam, that it's talking about soft bones versus hard bones? That's a very big chiddush. That's one question. The marrow.
Yes, and then this is soft.
That is soft. But let's say the bone dries. So then it's not going to be soft anymore. In addition, and this is important for our conversation, nowadays, in 2024, there is no such thing as making gelatin from only hard bones. It doesn't exist. Gelatin is made from soft cartilage of the animals. It's made from other parts. So the argument of those who are mutter, matir, allowing the gelatin because it's hard bones and it's not really edible, that doesn't exist nowadays.
So gelatin, they do what? They're taking the bones.
They take the bones and they essentially are bringing out the material inside that has the gelatin they need. It's in there. So delicious, I know. So we're going to talk about that. Point. What does the Shulchan Aruch say about? So the Shulchan Aruch says in Yerodei Simin Sadi Tes, chatichas nevela, a piece of non-kosher meat, sheyesh ba basar va'atzamos, that has meat and bone, shenafla kaderas, and it falls into the pot of heter, atzamos se'iser, mitstarfin meheter. The bones that are come from the usser animal combine together with the heter, levatel ha'iser. Do we catch that? So what that means is, if a bone, a pig bone, and some pig flesh attached, falls to the pot. In the pot, there's only, let's say, 48 size times the amount of pig flesh, right? It's only 1/48. Is that enough to be mevatel the iser? No, you need one in. Mevatel b'shishim, right? It's not enough. But if I combine the volume of the bone together with the other permissible things in my chalent, it does become 60. So the Shulchan Aruch says that the bone combines with that which is the rest of the heter in the chalent, and if it now turns into a volume total of more than 1 in 60, then it's mutter. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. How can you be mitzarf the bones of Isser to be mitzarf something else? It's a very weird shita. So there's a Prima Gadim, there's a Chavos Das. Again, we're not all going for smicha right now, so we're not going to get too complicated. But the Prima Gadim says that something fascinating. He says that when it comes to a bone, the tam of the Isser, the flavor of the Isser, goes into the bone, but it doesn't come out. He says that it's a chiddush by a bone, that it only absorbs the Isser, but it doesn't come out. So if that's the case, it removes the Isser from the equation, and it doesn't go back in, but whatever. This is how we hold right now.
But bone, if I put bone in the soup, it's going to give it flavor.
Of course.
So what is observed?
He's trying to figure out what's going on here in the Shulchan Aruch. He's trying to explain the Shulchan Aruch. Lemaisa. So bones we assume to be are usher. It's usher to eat treif bones. So what do the poskim say regarding gelatin? So let's start first with the. Let's start with the Machmirim. Let's be Machmir first, okay? The Machmirim include the Chaznish. You see, they ask the Chaznish, Shaila, Chuvas, a Chaznish, Hara, La Isser, Achla, Inyan, Rafu, Ein, Sarach, La Achmir. Regarding medicine, he says you don't have to be Machmir. We'll talk about that later on in a moment. Rav Aaron Kotler, Chuvas, Mishnah, Rabbi Aaron, Chelek, Aleph, two Chuvos, Tes Zayin, Yud Zayin, 16 and 17. His is based on the Yesod that bones are Usser when you want the item to be there. If I hold it to be important, then it's usser. And obviously, if I'm making jello from pig bones, then I clearly want the gelatin to be there. It's achshavei. Relazer Silverin's article prints in Yeshurin, volume 12, Igros Moshe Yodei Chelik Beis, Minchas Yitzchak Chelik Gimel Simin Kuf Mem Zayin, Mishpatei Uziel Chelik Tes, Shuvas Vanagos Rishtermach Chelik Beis, Shin Pei Aleph, Shuvas Shevet Halevi Chelik Zayin, all say the gelatin that comes from bones of a non-kosher animal is 100% usher to use and to eat. The OU writes in their Daf HaKashrus, gelatin is one of the most versatile non-kosher ingredients, and as such, it is commonly present in many otherwise all-kosher facilities. The OU considers gelatin as vadai isser and requires kashering kalim that came in contact with gelatin. So if you made a jello mold with non-kosher gelatin, you have to kasher the whole thing. It's Vada Israel. And that is really the opinion of all the major kosher agencies. In America nowadays, you cannot find non-kosher gelatin in the Hechsher. It does not exist. It does not. It's not on the market. What's the argument of those who were Mekel? That's the Achiezer of Chaim Ezer Grzhensky, who was the Gadol Hador in his time. So he writes, L'chora ba'atzamos yivashus ein shem chashash. They're dry. There's no problem here. Ta'atzamos iser mitstarfim mehetzer levatzal iser. Didn't we already say in the Shulchan Aruch says that I can consider them heter, permissible food, to be mevatel, to nullify prohibited things. Vafilu batzamas harach, and even by the soft ones, the shachas machra, many people are mekel, imkin pashut, dat samos shenis yavshu behen, in behem chashash, iser, klal. Dry, desiccated, you know, not yummy bones, not us at all, says Rav Chaim Ozer. He's hesitant to be mekel on this point, as Rav Chaim Ozer, because people are going to think that so many people say it's usser. Now the rabbis are coming with a kula, and they think the rabbis have like a magic wand, and they can make usser things mutter. But nevertheless, he argues that it's mutter. He also suggests that the bones are dried out, and it's like what we say in halacha: panim chadashos bo lekan. What does panim chadashos mean? A new thing. That's not what we had before. I had pig bones, but now I have something totally different. It's not the original isser. It's based on a Russian brachos. The Russian brachos says that the Gemara discusses what's the bracha on smelling musk. What's musk? It's oil that comes from the gland of a deer, of a certain animal, and it's created by the blood of the animal, and the blood of the animal goes through the process in the body through the gland of this animal that creates musk. It's used in perfumes and things like that. So the Rush asks, but the blood of the animal is usser. So how is the musk permissible to get hana from, to smell and to make a bracha on it? So he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, and Rabbeinu Yonah says, panam chadashos ba'ol lekan. When it's the blood of the animal, it's usser. But when it undergoes the transformation, it becomes a new item, which is the musk that comes from the gland of this animal, therefore it's mutter. That's not the usser thing. It's a new thing that did not exist before. It's the same thing over here. The bone is a new thing. It's creating a new thing. Now, Rav Chasda Abramsky, he is not so sure that makes sense. Why? Because is the gelatin really panim chadashos? What is the gelatin? I didn't make something new. I just removed all the stuff I didn't want to be left with the gelatin, right? I didn't make something new. I extracted a product that was hidden inside the bone. So Rav Chasda Abramsky says, panim chadashos, it's not what it means. Panim chadashos means it undergoes a fundamental chemical change. In the case of gelatin, I've just extracted what was already there. So he's not convinced by that particular argument. Rovagio Seif is also one of those people who are matzer. He writes in Shuvah Sebi Omer, Chelet Ches Yerodeh Simen Yod Aleph. He goes through a lot of what we said. We don't have to read it inside. He says, he brings sources and all the posts. He says, V'chein Iker L'halach L'maisa. And he says, L'halach L'maisa is that we should be makel as well.
It's not why they to do it. It's like why to go and latir it if keves is the same gel as the pig.
Okay, good. Fine. So good. So that's a reason to be strict. I hear. So you are machmer. That's fine.
No, I don't. I just try to understand why they go.
Rav Chaim, they want to do it because it's on the market and it's there. And Jews are going to be using it. So Jews are going to be using it in the 1930s and 1940s. So they're saying, so let's see if there's a way to allow it. Again, it's a non-issue nowadays to make jello and things like that, because you can buy fish gelatin and you can get the same product and it's fine. So we're not troubled by this. We're trying to get our way to medicine.
So
yeah.
You mean like 200 years ago?
No, not 200 years. 70 years ago. 80 years ago.
Rabbi, no.
What? We'll talk about the rabbi. Yeah, we'll talk about the rabbi in a second. So what are the reasons to be lenient? So again, let's go to the reasons to be lenient. The bones of Isser are not Usser. That's one argument, like Tosos. It's like musk, it's Panim Chadashos, but we explain why that's not so simple as well. The bones are dried out, or they're pugum, they become almost non-edible. Right? If I just took the gelatin on its own and I ate it, it would be disgusting. It's not edible for human consumption, right? So that's based on a Gemara Msachim. The Gemara Msachim Chaf Aleph says that if something is Nisal Machilas Kelev, it's no longer chametz, right? If the chametz becomes so bad and spoiled that a dog wouldn't eat it, then it's not considered chametz on Pesach. And the poskim say that anything else besides chametz, if it's nifsa machilas adab, if it becomes unedible for a human being, another type of iser, so that's also mutter as well. So gelatin on its own is not edible for human consumption on its own. It's disgusting. The Shach says that if the Isser has become like a dry piece of wood, it's ke'etz, then it's mutzer. And that's really what it is. There's a machlokes haposkim about the following point, though. What if I take something that's usser, something that was usser, and now it's mutzer because now it's like a dry piece of wood and it's not really good, and then I rehydrate it. I mechayim mesim on the thing, and now it is edible. So that's a major machlokes haposkim, the Aruch HaShulchan, and other poskim as well. And that's what it comes down to over here. The machlokes about gelatin is the machlokes about if I take something that is yavesh ke'etz, dry like a gross piece of wood, and now I do something to it to make it yummy again, is that problematic? Rav Aaron Cutler says, it's 100% usser. And he brings other reasons as well. The Chavos Das says anything that is not roi l'achila, but impacts and improves the food is usser. For example, like yeast. Let's say I have yeast that comes from something that's usser. It's a trumas and mice, whatever it is. I have some sort of yeast. Now, the yeast is not yummy on its own. It's disgusting. But if I take that yeast that's usser and I put it into something to make it delicious, well then, says Rav Cutler, maybe now that's usser because I've used it to do something like enzymes, things like that. The other argument, he says, is that there's a din d'rabbanan of achshavei, that if I'm consuming it, what does that mean? I consider it to be good. And those who are lenient say, what about the bee's legs and the honey? It shows that even if you're okay with it, it doesn't make it usser. L'maisa, we're machmer. The kashrus organizations in America do not give a hechshar on non-kosher gelatin. It doesn't exist. It's not a thing. The opinion of the rabbanan in Israel is to allow consumption of gelatin, while any mahadrin organization in Eretz Yisrael would not allow it as well. And the major kashrus organizations in America, like we said, don't allow it as well. Again, these are things why we need to, we go to Eretz Yisrael and we're eating in a place, and just because it has, you know, a letter on the wall that's in Hebrew and a picture of the Lubavitch Rebbe behind the, you know, behind the glass, it doesn't mean that the place is kosher. You need to understand, you would never have non-kosher gelatin in America, so why would you have it in Eretz Yisrael? Just because there's Hebrew writing in a circle does not make that the item is particularly kosher. Okay, let's talk about the main issue, which is that of medication. So you have a gel cap, you have medications that have gelatin in it, you have those gummies, you know, some things I can give to kids. So do you have to have a kosher brand? Or can you buy whatever's on the market? So who is lenient about it? Well, that's the Chaznish. We saw the Chaznish before who said, B'makom refua, you don't have to be a machmer. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Emes Yaakov Yerodeh Simen Pei Dalid, also says, for medications, you don't need to have it can be non-kosher gelatin. The Tzitz Eliezer, the Shevet HaLevi, in two places. What's the reason to be lenient? Well, first of all, perhaps gelatin is mutter. That's one side, like Rav Chaim Ozer, Rav Aji Yosef, Chaskel Abramsky. Maybe gelatin in the gel cap, Tylenol, whatever it is going to be mutter on its own. Rav Belsky says he's not so convinced that argument would work nowadays, because gelatin is made nowadays from pig and parts that are edible, and not just the bones. So to invoke the heter of the Achiezer, Ruchaim Ozagruzensky, and Ruchas Lebramsky, is not so simple to only rely on that, because what they were talking about is a different product, which is more severe, that we have nowadays. The other reason to be lenient is there's no Isser unless it is Achshavei. And for a refua, it's not considered Achshavei. It's not food. I'm swallowing it. It's a pill that I saw. It's not a normal way to eat.
If it's a vitamin, it's a gel, so you cannot take
oh, good, good. We're going to separate medication and vitamins. Let's break it up. That's not derech achila. Swallowing something is not considered derech achila. Correct. So that also is another reason as well. That's what Rav Shechter writes about in his Shuvah as well. And then even if there's achshavei and iser, if I mix in something else into the mixture, there's more room to believe in as well. If it's rov, not iser, other factors that go into the medications. Most of the gel cap is not necessarily the gelatin. There's other ingredients that go into that final product. Who's machmer? Not so many people are machmer about taking gel medications. They say in the name of Shlomo Zalman Arbach, I brought over here in the Halicha Shlomo by Yom Kippur, he says, V'chein heishe b'tshuvas k'sabiyat, he wrote in a manuscript letter, L'chola sh'uzkak l'r'tshufa sh'yish bo gelatin, there was somebody who was sick, they needed to take a gelatin medication, sh'yatfena b'ne'ar dak v'vilenu b'atifa, wrap it in like a toilet paper, in a little bit of paper, and swallow it like that. Because then you're not really getting, that's considered lo shel derech achila. That's even more because it's not really a normal way to eat it. If you do it in that way, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach said, that was a reason to be machmer as well. Rav Belsky also seemed to say the same thing, if it was possible to do it that way. But again, the minhag is not like that. What is the reason to be machmer? The reason to be machmer is there's an Isser of Achshavei when it comes to refuah, according to the Shagas Aryeh, not our sugya right now, but the Shagas Aryeh says, even when it comes to medication, if I'm interested in putting that thing in my mouth, it now becomes Asr. Why should there be a Heter if the pill or medicine is being eaten? I mean, I am putting it into my mouth. And if there's a possibility without any Isser mixed in, it's better to get that option as well. So that's what we would say. When it comes to a straight up medication for a medicinal purpose, you don't need to be careful at all. You can buy gel caps, whatever it is, if that's the thing that you want and that's what's available at that time. Meaning if you're in CVS and there's Advil without gel caps and with gel caps, so then get the one without. Like, it's an easy chumrah. That's an easy chumrah that will cost you almost nothing. If, for example, let's say a person has trouble swallowing and it's easier to swallow the gel cap or whatever it may be, and this one is preferred for them, take the gel cap. Or that's all that's available. You're in the office and you have a headache, and all the person has is a gel cap. So take it, you feel better, and go home. That's certainly halacha l'maisa for gel medications, swallowable pills. Okay? Let's talk about vitamins. Vitamins are not so simple. This is a machlokas between Rabbi Belsky and Rav Shechter. Rabbi Belsky writes in the Daf HaKashas as follows. Let's look what he says. He says, even if the gel cap is considered nifsal ma'achil, the Daf HaKashas is the OU's pamphlet they put out for the mashkichim. He says, even if the gel cap is considered nifsal ma'achila, the Rush tells us in Psachim that there's a concept of achshavei, whereby the item has a food status restored as a result of being swallowed and consumed. Rav Aaron Zatzal and Rav Henkin Zatzal were of the opinion that this applies to medicine as well. And Rav Moshe Zatzal was of the opinion that achshavei does not apply to medicines, since the patient would, if necessary, swallow bitter medicine as well. All opinions agree that achshavei concept applies to vitamins, which are food supplements. Rav Belsky says that vitamins are not pills. It's not refuah. It's a supplement. It's more like a food than it is like a medication. Of required nutrients and do not serve as a capacity of curing an illness, unless the vitamin is a therapy to cure a sickness. The swallowing of the vitamin is considered an act of eating, as we find concerning the mitzvah of eating matzah below bala matzah yatzeh. If I swallow the matzah without chewing it, I still fulfill the mitzvah. And swallowing matzah constitutes the fulfillment of the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Thus, taking a vitamin in a porcine gel cap made out of pig through achshavei is considered eating in an edible piece of chazer. That's what Rebelsky said. And that was also the sheet of Gedalia Dov Schwartz and the CRC. Those who are lenient say that vitamins are medicine. It's just easier medicine or lighter medicine. This was the sheet of Rav Adi Yosef from the Mayan HaOmer, Rav David Feinstein, the Yad Dodi, from Rabbi Yitzhak Frankel, who's the Rav Neagudi here, has two beautiful volumes of Shadows of the Yes, Rav David Feinstein. Very, very nice stuff. So he writes his there. Rav David Feinstein said it's 100% considered like a medicine. And Rav Shechter explains why gel vitamins and medications, or all medications, are fine as well. I'll just go through it just for a few minutes. We'll just see what Rav Shechter says here. He says, nearly, legabe hagulos shel vitaminim hanasos migelatin. Vitamins made out of gelatin. Shekeisa gelatin hazeh einenu roi l'achil bechlal. The gelatin's not edible. Ve'al pip shuto hadas, no to the das agon Rav Feinstein, shekol shu bolel refuah. Rav Moshe said, anything that is swallowed for refuah, for medication, ein bu mishum achshavei, it's not achshavei. Ve'ayin chazen ish lehilchos pesach she'afilo nachmer kadas achronim. And if you want to be machmer like those opinions who say that achshavei applies to eating achilas machalos asuros hapagumim that are gross, b'miskavim lebon, if I want to eat them, hanudafka k'sheish iser be'active ingredient. That's only when the iser is doing something for you. But the gelatin and the vitamins is not doing something for you, it's just to hold everything else together. Of a bederach klal has samim mutar mehema, but generally the medication itself is mutar. V'chol ba'ayas hamachalos asuros he al sharet dvarim hervamba. The problem with iser is the other things that are not the active ingredients. V'nei b'chol she'em bo sakan. He says, let's say someone who is ill but not in danger. So the Shulchan Aruch says and the Gemara says, demutar la'achol machalos asuros shelo kederach achila. You're allowed to have iser in an abnormal fashion. Uvano galulos pshita, and swallowing pills is obviously lo derech achila. People do not eat by swallowing things without chewing them. That's not a normal way to eat food. But im hu chola, if you're sick, shem bo sakana, but you're not in a life-threatening situation, pshita diha mutter levlo glulos halalu. It's 100% mutter to swallow these gel pills. V'kamosha kasa v'gona chacham avaj Yosef, as Rav Yosef writes in the Chavadas. V'asher al pizeh, based on this, cholak al Rav Moshe Feinstein shehitza glulos halalu afilu lebari im michush ba'alma. He says, one is going to argue on Rav Moshe, who allows the swallowing of pills for someone who's healthy, but has like a headache, asher ein hetzer zeh noeg etzlo. Achen, al pi pshuto, nira bedas Rav Moshe Feinstein, according to Rav Moshe, to mahaitaima hu shehitzer, the reason that he allows it, to nosav mashish kan heter shol kederachel, besides the fact that swallowing a pill is not a normal way to eat, yesh gam lahatir de nifsam achilas adam. The second reason is because the whole food, the whole thing you're putting in your mouth, is nifsal machilas adam. It's not for human consumption. So the way you're eating it is not normal, and the thing itself is not food. Shirak asur mi derabanan. That's only derabanan mitam achshavei, because of achshavei, right? Because I'm putting it in my mouth, well then therefore maybe it's something I have to be nervous about. But I'm talking about a derabanan here. So if the whole issue is a derabanan, and it's not a normal way to eat, livlo l'shem rufu, asfar l'idlo shach l'man achshavei, v'al pi pshuto hayanira b'kesher l'elu ha'gluos shal vitaminim shalvas. Now let's turn to vitamins, okay? Not standard medication, but vitamins. D'lo shna bolam l'rufu aschad pa'amis, v'lo shna bolam b'chol yom v'yom. I don't care if it's a one-time thing, or an everyday vitamin, b'toras tishlam mazon, as a food supplement. Shari sof kol sof, at the end says Rav Shechter, ein mevarach magos ela. Do you make a bracha on them? No, you don't make a bracha on the vitamins. Ki einam ruin lachil. Do you know why you don't make a bracha on them? Because they're not food. That's why you don't make a bracha on them. B'lo shayich b'zeh svaras achshvei. You can't say achshvei that it's important to me. Ki einenu ocha mizeh chaticha gedola. It's not like you're slicing into a vitamin and like chewing the vitamin and enjoying your delicious vitamin. It's not achshvei is only when it's a way to eat it. Alarak bolea galula ketanatanat ketanatanana, a very, very teeny tiny pill that they told us, because it does something for you. So it's not pleasurable for your throat and not even your stomach. And he goes on to explain again why it's well. He goes into other ingredients, talks about sorbitol, glycerol, things like that. And Shach says it's 100% mutter to take gel vitamins. And all those things will be fine. Not gummy vitamins that taste like candy. That's still problematic. But a gel type of vitamin that has gelatin in it that you swallow will be 100% mutter. So halacha l'maisa in America and the entire world, don't buy gelatin that does not have a hechsher on it from a reliable kosher organization. When it comes to medications, no problem taking a gel medication. When it comes to vitamins as well, we'll come at halacha l'maisa, no problem taking a vitamin as well that has gelatin in it. However, if, again, you have two options in front of you, I can get the kosher brand that has the hechsher about it, I can get the one that doesn't, so then get the kosher brand. If the kosher brand costs $60 and this one costs $20, so then get the cheaper one if it's too much. But again, two options in front of you, get the kosher one. If you don't have any option, then take the one that's available that even has the gelatin. Yeah?
How much do you have to worry about kosher toothpaste?
Kosher toothpaste? I don't worry about kosher toothpaste. Yeah.
Cough drops, where do they fall into?
Cough drops are food. Cough drops are food.
They're food.
What? I mean, it has a pleasant taste. You make a bracha on them. I'd make a bracha if I was saying a cough drop. There's a big question about, I would say 3 months, I'll get a picture of Ricola, and they want to know about Ricolas, because it's like that. They have on the website, they have ones that, on the Ricola website, they have a list of what is, what's good. The CRC has a list. CRC medication list is a very good list to have as well, just to see what's good, what's not good. It clarifies all those things. Okay.